Hey, what's going on? And welcome back to A New Sound with me, Morgan Brown. I hope everyone had a very happy and healthy, safe Christmas and New Year's, a nice little holiday season. And going into 2021, I'll be honest, I'm feeling a little better. Things are starting to feel a little okay. You know, we're trying our best. Just continue to mask up, do your part, help end this stuff so we can all be getting back. But I do feel that 2021 so far, it's looking okay. You know, I don't want to be too optimistic. I don't want to be too pessimistic. It's just, we got this, people. And I'm a big proponent of let's just get through it. My guest on the show today is an incredible musician. Her name is Leanna Firestone. Perhaps you've heard her song Strawberry Mentos, because it slaps. She is an incredible young artist. She actually has a song coming out in exactly a week. We discuss that. We talk a lot about TikTok, her rise on that platform. We talk about her songwriting process. We talk about how she got started. I was just so impressed because I really wanted to talk to someone who's just starting out on their career and if they can give any advice for people who are also starting on their career. So without any other further ado, here is my interview with Leanna Firestone. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Let's all get through this together. Here's my interview with the very talented Leanna Firestone. I've been searching for someone like you my whole life. So I pick up black licorice from every candy aisle. And even though I hate the taste of it, I know that when I kiss you, it'll make you smile. Oh, you're so sweet.
Question.
I mean the world's on fire, so probably bad.
But I mean, things are good. I'm doing good for the circumstances.
I think that's good. The only thing that people can really talk about right now, you know.
It's
how have you been through COVID and everything?
Like
really.
how have you been doing?
Yeah, you don't have to really be like, oh well, I've been great. No, clearly again, everything sucks.
I mean, I'm a musician, so I'm deeply troubled. But whenever things started to fall apart, I fell apart with it. And then sure. As things have been getting deeper in, I was like, oh, I kind of like being alone. And now that I am alone, but not with my parents, which I had to move back because school and XYZ, now I'm not alone with my parents. I'm doing so good.
That's great. I think that's awesome. I'm happy that you're at least making the best out of all the circumstances. I think it's interesting when I've talked to other musicians about like COVID and like being a musician during like the pandemic and stuff. It's like people are always like, oh, if I only had an amount of time to work on music, it'd be great. But then you have the time and you're like, oh, I don't want to do anything and I'm super depressed and everything sucks all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
I'm in school for music as well, which we can talk about that as I have no idea what your questions are. So
no,
maybe
for sure.
I should wait. But I'm in school for music and it's funny to be around like every musician right now because all of them are like, I love music, but I hate making music when I know that I can't be around other musicians.
I think that's a huge thing. I mean, I'm a pretty collaborative person when I've been making music and stuff. So for me, I could definitely see like you want to actually share and collaborate with people. So the isolation is definitely hurting collaboration and collaborative processes, but it's also, I don't know, for me, I've gotten so much even better at like, because I can't rely on other people.
Yeah.
So I think it's one of those things. But I wanted to talk to you specifically, because obviously I'm a fan of your TikToks and stuff.
Okay.
And I like your song as well.
Hate that.
Well, that's bad.
It's just embarrassing.
No, I know. Well, I think, well, so that is, okay, so that's actually part of one of the reasons, like, a lot of the people when I've, like, talked to, like, I started the podcast just to, I love talking about music. I love talking to musicians. I love hearing everyone else's perspective. I've been in music. I work in the music industry. Like, my whole life, all I've been doing is that. And I really just want to be able to talk about that. But most of the people that I've talked to are either established in some way or they're working on their third album. But seeing you have, like, you're at the very start of your career, and I think it's sick. You're going to school for music. What made you want to go to school for music?
Well,
start at the very
beginning. So childhood. Music is always it's always what I wanted to do. I have been trying to be a musician for, like, my entire life. And I think that every musician that starts from the time that they figure out that, like, oh, music is what they want to do, that's all that they pursue for, like, the rest of their life. And so for me,
oh, you froze a little bit.
I think I was like 4 or 5. Okay.
Sure.
And Miss Taylor Swift was on the radio.
Legend. And the queen.
Yeah, the legend. And I remember listening to her and being like, I wish that I could, like, talk the way that she talks, like, in her talk at the time. I wish that I could write like that. And for the longest time, I was like, oh, I just want to be, like, a singer because I, like, want to be on the radio. I want people to pay attention to me. And then the older I got, it was more of like, no, I just want to be able to articulate myself and have people relate their experiences to mine. And so whenever I got to high school, I started doing choir and theater and XYZ and blah, 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 which is a very musician thing to say that I was in.
I think it's very funny. Almost every single one of my musician friends at some point have also done theater. So there's a little bit of, like, theater kid, like, attention
energy
with music specifically. And I mean, I'm obviously the same, but
I did theater for 8 years before I stopped doing it. I stopped when I finished high school, but theater was always just a way to do music in a small town, you know? And mm-hmm. because I don't even now, as somebody in college for music, I don't really know how music works. I'm not the person to talk to about that, but it was just a means to an end, if you will. And so whenever high school ended and theater ended, I was like, okay, cool. I still want to do music for the rest of my life, so let's pursue that. And so I go to college at Middle Tennessee State University, which is a long name.
Where is
also,
that?
Where is that? It's in Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
I super did not mean to have an attitude with that. I just legitimately was curious.
No, you don't. Nobody knows of it. But it's a really good program for what it is,
sure.
Because it's just a way to make up a degree for people that want to be singer-songwriters. And so my major is in recording industry.
Okay.
That's what they're going to put on the diploma, is recording industry. So my full title is a major in recording industry with a concentration in commercial songwriting and a minor in writing. Which is just so long and unnecessary of a way to say that I want to be a singer-songwriter. So I found that through my chorus at high school, which is super cool. My chorus teacher was like, Leanna, you need to be writing. And I was like, you're right. And so he was like, let's just send you to a school that's an hour and a half away from where you grew up, and you can just write. And that's what I've been doing.
When did you start wanting to, like, when were you first starting to write songs? Was that, like, in the choir days, or was this, like, later on in college?
I started writing songs in the 8th grade. I think it was my first, like, finished full song that I liked was in 8th grade. But since then, I've gotten a lot better. I'm not still at 8th grade level, I promise. But I think that was the first time, and I performed it for my school's talent show.
I mean, yeah, I've been in the same spot. So you're not alone. Like, all of, like, the experiences, I think I was, like, in a really bad pop punk band in 7th grade. Like, it's just one of those things that you gotta do. And you gotta play.
Blink 182.
I mean, obviously. Like, I love that stuff, man.
Yeah.
But so now you're pursuing music and in college. And now what made you turn to, like, TikTok and stuff? Is it just because it's a new thing? No.
So this is where I talk about how it's embarrassing.
But it's not embarrassing at all. I mean, your lyrics are very mature, genuinely. Like, clearly, I saw your TikTok and I was like, I really want to interview her. So clearly it's not. Don't be embarrassed, even a little bit.
I'm not embarrassed of the music part of my TikTok. It's more of the origin story of that.
Okay.
Which is that in September 15th of 2020, I know the date, I posted it. Okay, so I started watching anime.
Like a legend.
In July of 2020. And so in September, I started watching a show called Haikyuu, which is about volleyball, very popular on TikTok. I did not know that at the time because I had never seen a TikTok about anime. But I was like, you know what? I'm gonna make this silly little TikTok, and it's gonna be for like 200 people and me, and no one will see it and no one will like it. And then I posted it. People did see it. And it went viral on like anime TikTok, started a trend, blah, 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 blah. And so I got like 100,000 likes on it, something like that. And so I started to build this platform around talking about anime, which is, yeah, you are correct to
no
laugh.
That's fine, dude. Well, that's the thing. So I've interviewed other, my last episode was with my friend Carly, who is teen scientist on TikTok. Mm-hmm. Who's genius. And she was talking about how we were talking about the algorithm and how it's crazy. Like, but this is the newest thing on how you would think a little video you talking about anime would only hit 200 people. But it actually is insane how you can build a whole community around very specific things.
And that is what I did.
So then when did you want to start incorporating music into it?
Well, obviously, like, I'm in college for music. Music has always been the goal. Right. So when I started to pick up a following around talking about anime and, like, making silly little anime videos, I was like, how am I gonna like turn this into like me being a musician? Because obviously, whenever you start to build a following as a musician for something that's not music, your automatic instinct is to be like, how am I gonna figure out, like, how I'm I gotta make people care about this, because people, I don't wanna like. Am I allowed to curse?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, I don't.
Absolutely.
People's they put out garbage on TikTok, just absolute garbage, where their only part of their TikTok is being like, go listen to my song, and nobody cares. And so I, as somebody that had never talked about my music on my TikTok before, and as people were expecting me to talk about anime and not music, I was like, well, I can't just come out and be like, go listen to my song, you know? So what I started to do, and my origin story, I guess, of music on TikTok is I started to write songs about or for characters from different anime. And I would write about, like, Strawberry Mentos, which is my song. That is the only song that I have out. Was about what I thought it would be like to date this character. And it blew up and did really, really well. And that's what started everything, was just me writing about me being a simp is what is what started everything.
But that, I think when you take ideas, like, that's a very challenging project as a songwriter, to make yourself write about something specific opposed to everything being extremely literal about your life. It's almost harder to write from a narrative, from a perspective that you don't really control. Like,
yeah.
I'm in the same way where I'm just like, oh, I want to write a song about the entire plot of Heathers. Great. Let's see. Let's see if I can do this. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's so interesting because, I mean, putting yourself in those in that perspective and also still appealing to your community. There's so many TikTok people who will do really odd or dumb or funny content. And then because they have a following, they'll start doing music.
Yeah. I hate that.
No, I agree. I agree with you. That. I agree. I completely, wholeheartedly agree. It's a very odd thing because when you have 200,000 people watching your TikToks or anything else, it's hard. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't want to just do, you want to be like, oh, I do music too. But the fact that you are actually like a trained like musician that you want to like go into that for.
Yeah.
I say trained as in you're going to college for it.
Yes.
I don't think,
I think,
you know.
It's so frustrating. So frustrating to see people, I'm not going to name names, but we know who I'm talking about, people that blow up on TikTok who then start doing music because they know that they can make money off of it. Mm-hmm. And then there's people that I go to school with that are 1,000 times more talented than I am, who are starving and can't do what they love and are working 4 jobs in order to be able to support music because that's all that they want to do. And so to see you, as though I'm talking to them, to see them do that is... It's so frustrating.
Well, I think it's also super fascinating while we're on the topic of like TikTok and everything.
Sure.
That so I don't want to date myself with I'm old or anything. Like I'm okay. In my early 20s. I'm not 50. But even when I started doing music when I was 17, 18, 19, mm-hmm. that no we didn't know what people thought. Like we didn't know. And I thought that was so interesting because I remember the first video that I saw of yours was the song about like the hometown, like the whole like the college experience. I forget the name of the actual song, but it was you talking about you kept talking about it for a while. Give me a name and I'll edit it in later because I'm a bad person.
I don't know what you're referring to. I have so many songs where I talk about hating my hometown.
It was about a guy that you were seeing. Or something.
Oh,
what was the name of that one?
It doesn't have a name because when I posted it, that was all that I had written.
Well, regardless, the fact that people like have the audacity to then talk to you about that stuff, I don't know. Your responses to dealing with people have been so interesting to me. Like, developing.
Really?
Oh my gosh! Because when I was like starting college or anything, and I would post songs or anything else, it was just Spotify. You know, in Instagram, yeah. Where people would just be like, oh, cool, great. But now because your platform and how TikTok, like, is, the fact that you can actually see and hear a bunch of people discussing your track, psychologically, that must be really hard.
Yeah. Yes,
like,
very
that's
hard.
That's frustrating for me as, a musician. And hearing your perspectives is absolutely mind-blowing to me.
It's very strange because people love to call people names. And I, not to be like, oh, I never thought that I was going to get hate. Because, like, you know, everybody gets hate, like, when you have a platform like that. But I never expected people to just, like, blatantly disregard the message of a song in order to call me names. Or to not read my responses, like, in the comments when people have previously called me that name. That song that you're talking about specifically, it's funny because it's like the most attention that I've gained, negative attention from a song, I guess.
Which is fascinating because I really like the song. Like
musicians I've talked to.
Yeah, I relate to that song. Like I remember like either on both sides of like the meaning, like what you're writing for, and like it's extremely mature and like it's very well thought out and solid lyrics. That I was so confused as when I saw that video, I was like, oh, that's a really cool song. Let me, like, you know, as a musician would, oh, let me go look at her other songs and, like, become a fan. But when you were starting to talk about the reaction of that 30-second clip, I was blown away. I was blown away that people could care, not saying care, but care in a negative way so much.
Oh, yeah. Me too. I feel like whenever I post things, I never expect for people to take it in a negative way. And whenever they do, I'm always like, what are you talking about? That song specifically, people were calling me a homewrecker, which was like,
like
number one, Miss Ma'am is me, has never been in a relationship, has not had her first kiss. So whenever I was talking in that song about how like this man was like, oh, I like you enough to, like, want to have sex with you, but I don't like you enough to want to hang out with you, and so I'd rather go, like, be with somebody I actually like. And then people were like, fuck you. Fuck you for being in this, like, sorry. I really do apologize that I liked somebody. But it was so funny, like, after that started happening, that TikTok started, not to be rude, but that TikTok started to get promoted to men. And my main demographic is women. You can tell that by everything about me when you look at me. But my 92% of my followers are women and 8% are men. And so that video started to get pumped out to like a bunch of middle-aged men. And I don't again, the TikTok algorithm being stupid. I have no idea why it did that, but they hated it. Middle-aged men hated that song. Also, there would be people commenting on it and being like, Jessica circa of 1996, I'm so sorry that I did that to you. And I was like, you all are so shitty, and I hate you. I hate every single one of you.
That's so fucked up.
Yeah.
That's
or just men saying like, this would be a good song, but a girl sang it. Huh?
Big. I had no idea about that. That's crazy.
Or just blatantly claiming that I was like faking playing the guitar in it because my woman brain couldn't understand it.
Oh my God.
That's the first time that I've experienced sexism like that, like so in my face, where I was like, oh, you all think I'm dumb because I'm a girl. Got it.
Which, songwriter and as a growing musician, like, that's so hard to deal with, especially when you're first like starting out and anything else. Jeez, I am truly sorry.
I crave validation so much, and whenever people were saying stuff like that, especially the homewrecker comments to somebody who's never been in a relationship, I was like, it's time for me to take a break.
Stop. Oh my God, man. That's so hard.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know what? Then in general, like, even just take it with stride, because I genuinely think that you're a talented person, and that's a really fucked up thing. But it's so interesting that, I don't know, like, I didn't grow up with the internet in the same way that, again, I'm 24. Like,
I didn't know that.
But even in, like, the 3 or 4 years difference, the world has completely changed mediums and anything. So none of, like, my friends or anyone has had to deal with that specifically as growing as a songwriter or musician.
Yeah.
So does that make you either want to write more to talk about these things? Because, well, I mean, let's shift to Strawberry Mentos in general. Beautiful song, but clearly people really do like it. I mean, you just passed 1 million streams on your first song.
Yeah.
But that is insane in general. Like, I've had friends of mine work for years in music, and you are flexing on people right in your first song. Like, that's insane. Like, I genuinely want to say, like, congratulations, because that's huge. That's really huge.
Today, which is very cool that I got to be on here on the same day that it happened.
No, I saw that. So I definitely wanted to make sure that was known, because I do my research. I'm an okay interviewer.
Okay.
But no, seriously, that's a huge milestone with that. And I'm like, you should take every person who's ever said a negative comment and just, because clearly you're doing something right.
Yeah, Strawberry Mentos, which, like, Strawberry Mentos is, I don't want to be like, it's not some of my best writing, but it's, I think that my best writing is when I'm sad, and so to have a song
I
think, like, to have a song that was a happy song, be number one, my first release, and have it do as well as it's done, which I could have never anticipated or prepared for, because I did not expect it to do as well as it did. Like, I thought, like, at max, this is going to get, like, 15,000 streams, and I'll never make my money back on it of, like, what I put into it. And so to see it, like, just become its own thing and have people refer to me as the Strawberry Mentos girl is, like, very, very cool, but also so strange. But Strawberry Mentos is, like, it's my kid, you know?
No, I know. It's your first song. And being able to talk to you specifically on the rise of your first track is something that I wanted to talk about specifically. It's so fascinating, honestly, because even with, like, what you just said, like, briefly, like, oh, well, I expected it to only get 15,000 streams. Like, that is a milestone for a lot of people that I know. And, like, again, like you say, extremely talented musicians, but for you to even have the confidence of that and then surpass it completely, like, you must be through the roof. Like, it's a very validating feeling.
It's also terrifying.
I get that.
I released it on October 30th. And so I looked it up. Today's the 81st day that it's been out. which is very cool.
A million streams in 81 days is absurd.
And I mean, obviously, like, I go to school with people that are musicians and they have many songs out and they are 1,000 times more talented than me and they know exactly like what they want to do with their career and blah, 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 blah. And so to have a following, I was expecting to like have, I don't want to be like have shoe-in listens, but just like people care about you, so they'll care about that.
Exactly.
And so to have that take, it's like, oh, well, that's how it started, but now people just listen to it because they like it. That's the part where it's like, that's so cool, and I can't, like, my brain still isn't, I just hit myself in the head. My brain still hasn't quite wrapped around that people care about my music yet. So every time that I, you know, like, I put out another, like, musical TikTok, or I have a release coming up, the instant that I think about putting it out for other people to see, I'm like, nobody's gonna care, nobody's gonna see it. And so whenever that first happened, I think I had like 15,000 followers on TikTok, something around that, when I put it out. And so in the first day, I think it got like 10,000 streams, and I remember being like, that's what I thought it was gonna do, like, in its whole life. So how do I, like, react to that? And I remember I was, like, emailing all my professors and being like, I know that this is good for, like, school, because I watch other musicians at school, like, not hit that in their entire career. But, like, is this good for, like, the industry? And then it charted on iTunes, and I was like...
That's huge.
Yeah.
That's and huge.
And it reached, I think, like, number 7 at its peak on the singer-songwriter charts, and I remember just, like, staring at that... the night that it came out, and I just sobbed my eyes out.
Well, then isn't that also so interesting too? Because, I mean, clearly we're sad people in general, like maybe on the inside.
Musicians, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Like I think there's a general like rule that we're just like, not saying rule, but like we clearly like want to discuss like the world and things. And I mean, I can only put myself in your shoes and like to hear about like your experiences. But it must have felt so odd because the world's in a pandemic. You're in your bedroom. Nothing has like changed. And then you're seeing your song chart on iTunes. Like that must have been such a weird, isolating feeling.
Oh, yeah. I called.
Like, you want to go out and party is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Me and my roommates, we held like a little album release party, but it was like the three of us just chilling in our living room and playing it on the TV. Like, that was the whole shebang. And I remember calling my parents because obviously, like, I've been trying to be a musician for my entire life. And so whenever I put that out, I remember calling my dad and he was like, you must be like through the roof, you must be so excited, so blah blah. And I was like, I mean, I still have like assignments due on Monday.
Right, exactly.
So it's like it was very cool, and I knew that I was like doing really well, but I was also like, oh well, the world is like falling apart, and I still have assignments to do on Monday, and I have work tomorrow at 3 p.m. And so like, it was just something where I was like, oh, this is really cool and very like validating, and it's what I've always wanted. But at the same respect, like, it's just another Friday.
No, and that's so crazy. I mean, I think the world specifically. How has COVID and the pandemic like shaped the rest of your songwriting?
Well,
and it also it's also super valid to be like, hey, I'm like so depressed. I haven't been able to write anything because I know so many people who are also in that mind space. It's not like I'm encouraging you to be like, what are you working on? And if you say nothing, that's like not a thing. Like, don't worry about it.
So from Strawberry Mentos, I got signed. Which is something I've talked about like a little bit, but not a lot. And I got signed.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I got signed to do an EP, and I'm signed to a label in London, England, which is called 45 because 45 RPM on a record.
Yeah, yeah.
just fun little fact. But I got signed to them, and I'm putting out 5 songs with them and Strawberry Mentos onto an EP, which we're hoping to have out like end of March, beginning of April. I also have some music coming out next week.
Oh, awesome.
I have not announced it yet.
Well, here it is. I'm happy I get the scoop.
Yeah, you get the scoop. This is like insider info. But I'm releasing some stuff next week as a thank you for Strawberry Mentos hitting a million. But that's not like going to be like a big it's not going to be a big release, because Strawberry Mintos wasn't a big release either. So we're just going to see how it goes.
No, for sure.
But for as far as writing in the pandemic and blah, 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 blah. So I live in the past constantly.
Mm-hmm. No, sure.
And so I don't want to say like writing hasn't been all that different, but I am still writing songs about the past. So just because nothing new is happening to me, my writing is exactly the same.
I do the exact same thing. No, I only write about experiences, and if I'm not like experiencing the world and stuff, it's yeah. I don't want to write a song about being in my room alone. Yeah, that's I'm gonna hear a billion of those songs for the next 5 years, and I can't justify it for me personally.
Oh no, me neither. I'm like, I don't want to be another musician writing about how isolating COVID is, because we all fucking experience that, and as much as like music brings us all together to, you know, share our experiences, I'm like, if it's a universal experience, I don't have to write about it. It's the same way like eating or drinking or shitting. Like, I don't have to write about that. Everybody does that. I would say it's made me a better writer in some ways, because I write for TikTok now as well, because people will be like, write a song about this character, and then I just will. And so in exercising, like, I feel a constant pressure that people want to hear new things from me, and I'm trying to like not be forgotten about. The pressure has in some ways shaped a diamond, but it in some ways has made me explode.
Well, that's so much pressure to put on someone specifically.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I talk about TikTok all the time constantly, because it's so new and unfamiliar to me. I've only been doing it for 4 months. And so to see it have grown as much as it has in those 4 months feels very, I don't want to call it like isolating, but it's like I'm alone because of COVID, and then I also feel alone because I'm experiencing this very new, real, honest thing that seems embarrassing in certain ways because of how it started, and also embarrassing in certain ways because I'm this like played up version of myself on TikTok so that people will watch me and care about me, which has in turn made me more confident in real life, but has also hindered me in certain ways, because I feel as though whenever people talk to me like this, that I will in some way disappoint you, because I'm not that person all the time.
No, that's extremely valid. Are you kidding? That's playing up on a character almost a character-esque. Like, you can only see through a screen. You don't actually know the real person. After yeah. they're done being weird, quirky, goofy and stuff, they like you can still be sad and cry after you turn the phone off. It's not like you're yeah. living in a constant state, which I think yeah. a lot of people don't really understand that either, specifically as an artist or a musician. And I'm not trying to get out of my soapbox and talk about, oh, the creative differences between musicians and artists. That's not what I'm trying to discuss. But
sure.
It's definitely it's hard. Specifically, I think the term being on is used a lot yeah. to describe yeah. that feeling. Where even sometimes, like, if I go to a party, it's like, oh, I'm fun, lighthearted, Morgie B. Oh, he's fun and quirky and cool. But then, like, I get back and I'm crying alone watching sad movies.
Yeah.
I think, but that's a very valid thing specifically in the creation of art and music.
I think that that experience, like, the experience of being on and then turning that off and then feeling alone or isolated or like a shell of the person that you were is it's very common. But when you're doing that in front of, like, thousands of people every day, it almost feels like whenever you're not that, I call it like a played up version of myself, but it's mm-hmm. honestly just me trying to push out the best parts of me at a higher volume than the parts of me that I don't like. And so whenever I go back to being me, it almost is like I have to be me now. Like, why? I wish that I was like that all the time. But whenever you are like that, it's exhausting.
Have you talked to a lot of your other friends and musicians about this, on how, because I'm always talking about how today in the world we're all the most connected we've ever been, but also the most lonely and isolated, I think, like, in a society. It's a very weird feeling specifically as an artist, you know?
Yeah. I think that the pandemic in some way made that better and in some way made that worse, because you have more time to be alone and more time to, like, recharge, if you will. But it's also, like, whenever you do see people or you are online or whatever, it almost feels like there's more pressure to be this, like, outgoing version of yourself, even though the world around you is, like, falling apart. And I don't know how to, like...
That's a very weird feeling.
Get rid of that pressure, because I know it's only placed on me by me, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, nobody else is, like, why is Leanna acting like that today, you know?
Right. Well, I think it's also a weird thing specifically to be so happy about your own current success while seeing the world implode, too. I feel like you can definitely discuss, like, you can definitely talk about that, because I'm sure that you're feeling that almost every day at this point.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as Strawberry Mentos is doing so well, and TikTok, I don't want to, like, flex numbers, but...
No, you can flex. This is your... I specifically need the flex.
Okay.
It needed to be a reminder to every one of my listeners to get their game up.
At the beginning of the year, I had like 98,000 followers on TikTok, which was like a lot, obviously. And then I posted 3 different songs within the course of a week that all broke like over 1 million views, got like hundreds of thousands of likes, and it gave me like 100,000 followers within a week. So I had like doubled what I had in 3 months in a week. And so whenever that was happening, I was like, oh, this is really cool. And I'm so excited that I get to do this and that I'm about to hit 1 million streams on Spotify and blah, 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 blah. While simultaneously having my grandma go to the hospital for COVID and me getting COVID and 3 other family members getting COVID during Christmas. And,
wow, I didn't even know you had COVID. How have you been feeling?
Honestly, I don't want to be like it's not that bad, because it is. It's really bad for certain people. It wasn't
again.
That
yeah,
bad
we're
for me.
we're very fortunate that we're young, spry, and we're at least. I mean, I don't know about your anything medical, but at least we're all healthy people.
Yeah,
like, it's
I'm
not
good.
Like you're asthmatic or anything.
Yeah,
but that
I
still
didn't
must have sucked.
Any... Oh, I mean, I don't want to say that it wasn't bad. It was just inconvenient that I had to stay home.
Right.
And because I went home for Christmas. And I did not want to, I don't want to be like, I didn't want to go home for Christmas because my parents may listen to this, but I didn't want to go home for Christmas because I didn't want to travel, but I did anyway because my parents asked me to and I'm their only kid. So I was like, okay, whatever. And so whenever I went home, I then found out that I was around a family member that had COVID. And so then I had to go get tested. And whenever I got tested, then I had it. And, my symptoms were, like, very, very mild. Very, very mild. Very, 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 very mild. And so then at that point, it was just like, oh, I have to stay home with my parents for 10 days. And that was the more, like, it was just an inconvenience. It wasn't really like, oh, my health is falling apart.
No, I understand that.
Yeah. And now I feel a lot better. But at the same time that I was gaining, like, hundreds of thousands of views and hundreds of thousands of likes, whatever, like, I was simultaneously just, like, worrying about my grandma dying in the hospital.
Jeez. Well, I'm really sorry to hear that.
No, I don't want to be like, oh, it's fine, but, like...
No, of course, good. I mean, it's only so much you could talk about, like, you know, on a fucking podcast, but at the same time, that sucks, and I'm really, really sorry.
But, like, having all of that success at the same time that, like, someone is potentially dying... It's like, oh, I really want to celebrate this because it's the best I've ever done, like, career-wise. And I don't want to say it's the best I'm ever going to do because we're not going to, like, hope
no,
for that.
Don't put yourself in a box at all.
But just, like, you know, this is the top and of what I know. And so to then also be like, well, I can't – what does this mean if, like, somebody is going to die? Mm-hmm. What is that? What is the
– I'm really happy that we really got to, like, the nitty-gritty – dark stuff. That's like
the dark stuff.
No, honestly, it's for real though. I don't know. I'm not really good at small talk, which is bad for being an interviewer, but I genuinely like and care about people, so I'm really sorry about all that stuff. Man.
It's
yeah, what are you
going to
do?
Now.
But also, I think it's okay, so I think it's also interesting too. And this is something that I noticed just because I'm not a huge social media person. Like, I'm not, I go down the TikTok wormhole every once in a while, but just to, like, mostly, like, listen to music and, like, see other common interests and things.
Mm-hmm.
But have you noticed that what I'll say is, I think it's so cool that maybe to you or maybe to other people, I think you've really also broken out of the whole, like, I'm a TikTok artist, supposedly, because, mm-hmm. do you know what I mean? Like, the fact that you actually have a really solid fan base at this point is kind of crazy in that concept. And I think that there's a difference between just being a TikTok artist and opposed to, like, being an actual musician and everything else.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty sick. And getting signed and all that, everything else, that's great. Like, you should be really, like, floored.
Thank you. I think that there are people on TikTok that do music on TikTok, and that's all that they do. And I like to explain my songs. I like to make videos about me. I like to do unboxings. I like I have all of this other stuff that I think, on TikTok, I'm this personality and this person that people in care about. And in turn, that makes them care about my music. And I think that where a lot of artists go wrong, which, like, what can I say? I have only been doing this for, like, 4 months. But, like, what I notice, I guess, is that people try to make it like, oh, this is me doing music on TikTok. And that's all that they do. And they just market themselves as a musician. And while that works sometimes, I think if you want people to care about your music, you have to make them care about you. And by doing that, especially on a platform that changes all the time and that you have no guaranteed success on, even when you have a following, because they don't always send out all of your posts to all of your followers, like, more frequently than not, they're not doing that. Mm-hmm. You have to make them, like, want to look you up, want to see how you're doing, want to check on your Spotify page, want to follow you on Instagram, which, like, that's, again, there's a lot of pressure, personal pressure around that, but, if you're just a musician, people don't care about your Instagram. They don't care about your Spotify. Like, they'll listen to your, like, little songs that show up on their For You page, but, like, if they don't care about you, then they're not going to make the effort to check in on you. Does that make sense?
No, it totally makes sense. I think marketing goes into everything. I think that's, like, one of the craziest things specifically that, well, I like, especially, like, I love talking about music and I love talking about lyrics and I love talking about, like, composition. But mm-hmm. I mean, I my background is all about music industry and stuff. So, like, I went to school for music business. So, mm-hmm. and, like, you actually, like, spelling that out for a lot of people definitely, like, helps.
And oh, I mean, that's just, like, observations as somebody that does this at least a little bit well enough to be on a podcast. that people tend to make it like you have to trick them, but. You have to convince your audience to listen to your song in different ways than telling them to listen to it, which right. for me was initially, like, writing songs about characters. And, like, I have songs that are going to – the song that I'm hopefully releasing next week is about a character. But if I didn't tell you that it was about a character,
you would
have no idea.
I didn't know Sharpamentos was one, so you fooled me.
Good, because that's –
great work.
I wanted it to be like something that anybody could listen to, and I think especially people that make niche songs about characters now, because I'm not the only person that does that, but they'll make it so niche that only people that like anime can enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think whenever you're especially starting, like, just my little advice is don't make it about music, make it about you, and then people in turn will care about the music because they care about you.
Oh, well, that's but really good advice though, dude.
There are people that, I don't want to be like musicians that aren't interesting as people, but there are people that their whole life is music, right? And so they don't know how to make it about them because they see it as like music and me are one thing and you have to figure out how to separate it, which is very hard, very, very difficult.
Extremely difficult.
But if you're trying to play the algorithm... Maybe try
you never
that.
Know, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Dude, you're such a trip. I really appreciate being on the podcast. I'm so happy for you and your song. Congrats on getting signed. Song next week. Or what did you say? When is it? So this will be out Friday?
I'm hoping that it will be out next Friday, which is the...
So a week from 29th. Now, people.
That's so exciting. I actually have not said that, like, to anyone, which is really very cool. Okay.
Hey, no... You are doing way better than you think you are.
Thank you.
And I think, well, maybe you actually know how good you are. Your song charted on iTunes. So maybe it's retrospective how good you're doing. But seriously, I really appreciate you coming on. Talking about this stuff is huge. Congrats on getting signed. Congrats on the song.
Thank you.
An EP coming in March-ish.
Ish.
Let's not put a date on that one.
Yeah. No idea. We'll see.
We'll see. Dude, thank you so much again.
Thanks for having me.
Of course, dude.